All right, time to talk some football with the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee. Wayne's visit brought to you by Lakeland Automotive, Legend Larry's, Miesfels, and by the Bull at Pinehurst Farms. I'm Kelly Meyer, John Hensler with me.
Had a fun time tailgating yesterday, fun atmosphere at Lambeau. I remember almost all the game, so
I'm good to go.
I think we're ready.
I think Wayne probably remembers more than you
he
do.
He can maybe tell me the whole story
of what
happened.
Which is good. Wayne, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing well. Big win yesterday, 31-13, the final. Packers start fast, finish fast, and I'm just impressed with the way, you know, in spite of all the injuries, these guys just continue to keep things rolling defensively. Everybody was wondering just a couple weeks ago, how are the linebackers do without Clay Matthews? They're not missing a beat, Wayne. No. This has been pretty impressive to watch these last couple of games.
It really has been, and offensively, of course, the key is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, his passer rating was back up over 100 yesterday. No turnovers by the Packers in that ball game. You know, we talk about these guys coming in, and they're doing a tremendous job filling in for some injured starters, but you've got the margin of error now is very thin for this team, so you have to be nearly flawless in terms of your offensive execution to make it happen.
I wanted to ask you, Wayne, and just kind of just talking to some people at the game yesterday, it's, you know, obviously you never want injuries in any circumstance, but it's got to be a little bit, say what you will, and fans I know have said their piece sometimes about Ted Thompson not signing free agents and not going out there and getting the veterans, but it's got to be a tip of the cap to him and a pat on the back when you can put guys in there like Jarrett Boykin has a 100-yard day and Lattimore had 12 tackles and a sack yesterday. I mean, guys that you didn't maybe even know, a casual fan maybe wasn't even aware of before the year, and they come in and just are having big impacts on important games.
Well, the Packers' front office prowess in terms of player acquisitions through the draft and free agency, by that I mean non-drafted free agents, is legendary. And we're seeing that put to the test this year with all of the injuries, as we did in 2010. But you're right. They've got people. You know, I mentioned the fact that all of this is orchestrated by Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Tom Brady's throwing to a bunch of guys from the Witness Protection Agency. You know, I mean, you know, you look at these great quarterbacks, Brady and Peyton Manning. Brett Favre did it for so many years. Brett Favre made millionaires out of people like Mark Chmura, yeah. Robert Brooks, Antonio Freeman. I'm not saying those guys didn't have ability. They did, and so does Jarrett Boykin. But you need a quarterback like this throwing you the football to put you in your best possible light, and that's exactly what's happening now with these guys that Aaron Rodgers is throwing to. He's making them great players.
Just following up with Rodgers there, Wayne, you know, he had probably just the victim of his own expectations. You hear, oh, he only had one touchdown and an interception against Baltimore, and his numbers are down. He had 10 touchdowns and 4 picks and all this kind of stuff. And then yesterday he has a game like he had with limited wide receivers available, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Is that, you know, just once in a while, do you think he just suffers maybe from the numbers he's put up in the past? I think Brady has the same kind of deal where they put up these astronomical numbers in past years, and if they have a game where they just don't have a 4 touchdown, no pick performance, it's a down game.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think their performance in the past has raised expectations, maybe unfairly, but nonetheless. And, you know, again, that defense yesterday they played against, Cleveland was top 10 across the board, you know. Number 7, I believe, against yardage. They were like number 5 on the ground. They were top 10 in pass defense. This was a very good, salty defense, built very much like the Packers defense. Big people up front, in the 3-man down line, and then a lot of that fire zone blitzing that they do. And so this was not an easy task for this Packers offense, and yet they put 31 points on the board, did not commit a turnover, you know, and basically won going away. So a very impressive win in that regard.
And, of course, a scary moment. All fans are talking about it this morning. Jermichael Finley goes down with an apparent neck injury. I don't know if you guys saw this. Chris Mortensen from ESPN a little over 30 minutes ago tweeted that Finley's in the ICU, they're doing tests, but that's really about all we know at this particular stage. I think it's good, though, and Wayne, you and Larry during the broadcast yesterday had heard as well and passed it along that, you know, he's apparently had feeling and movement in his extremities, which has to be good, but boy, neck injuries are tough, and we've seen former Packers in the past have careers ended as a result of neck injuries.
Well, Nick Collins being the most recent, you know, and it's a scary situation. Obviously, when a football player suffers trauma to that part of the body, the neck area, he's going to go to the hospital. He's going to ICU. So there's nothing new there.
Sure.
There's a lot of speculation that they may have to do surgery. That's merely speculation. It's not truth. We don't know yet. They are monitoring him. Yeah, it's going to take probably 24 hours before they really realize, okay, what is this injury and how severe is it? And will it require surgery? And then after that, what you're hoping for is that everything is fine in the long run for JerMichael Finley in terms of just being able to live out his life. But then comes the football question, will he ever play again?
Yeah.
Legitimate questions, but questions that can't be answered right away.
Getting back to the home game, I know I didn't even realize, Wayne, that they had now, after the win yesterday, 11 straight wins. I think there was a sentiment among fans maybe for a while there. I remember in the 90s watching games with Holmgren and Favre, and if they lost a game at Lambeau, it was just shocking. You know, they just always seemed like they could do no wrong there. And then maybe for a little bit in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, obviously a couple down years. Now it seems like, I think they're, what, 35-8 in their last 42 or 43, they're 11 straight. Do you feel like that mystique maybe is coming back a little bit?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I really do. And I think that I know that Lambeau's a great place for the opponents to play. They look forward to that game. I know that from being on the other side. And so, you know, but nonetheless, I really think this home field stuff, you know, remember, the football field in Lambeau Field is the exact same dimension as it is in Minneapolis, as it is in Cleveland, as it is in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now, the atmosphere around it may be different, that's for sure, but the game is played on the same surface, played on the same dimension of field, I should say. Different surfaces, but same dimension. And, you know, I would have to say this. You've got to be good to have that big home field advantage. You still have to be good. You have to go out and win the game. People don't just come in, look around, say, boy, we're glad to be here, and then get their butts beat. You've got to go ahead and earn it. You have to beat them. And that's what the Packers have done. You find when you talk about these teams with long home field winning streaks, one thing you can say about them is they're pretty good football teams.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so home field is one thing, but you've got to be good to have a good home field advantage.
You know, and even though Cleveland kind of hung in there yesterday for a lot of that game, I just never got the sense that the Packers were ever in danger of losing that game yesterday. Did you have that feeling as well, Wayne?
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The difference in quarterback going in, and we talked about it last week, during the week, the difference between the quarterbacks was huge. I mean, here's Brandon Whedon in his second season as a starter. He's not even the guy they want at quarterback. They had Brian Hoyer there. He went out with a season-ending knee injury. So now Whedon gets back in there. They're going to draft a quarterback next year. So, you know, you'll look at all these factors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, on the other side, Aaron Rodgers. And here's a guy who, God willing, his health holds up. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. So the disparity in that position was just huge. And in a position, and that's the one position on the field that makes the ultimate difference in the National Football League today, quarterback. And so the Packers had a great advantage going in despite their injuries.
I wanted to ask you real quick, too, Wayne, about Devon House. He's a guy, for the past couple of years, we've heard a lot about, raving of his training camp performances and preseason stuff, and he's had some injuries here and there in some spots where maybe there were some mental lapses. But Baltimore, he had a couple good plays. Yesterday, he had the pick. He had the deflection on the fourth down. And if you're not paying that close of attention, I mean, he's got the Al Harris number. He's got the Al Harris dreads. He's got the size to him a little bit. What do you think about his performance yesterday? He seems to be coming on as well.
Yeah, I had a flashback to Al Harris yesterday when I was watching him. You know, he's come on nicely. You know, he had a bad one preseason game. The first preseason game, he had a bad game. He even said it was the worst game he's ever played. But, you know, when that happens, especially with a young player, you get buried on the depth chart a little bit. He's battled his way all the way back. He's in the regular playing rotation now and doing an outstanding job. He's got good length. He seems to have very good instincts, and the Packers have a lot of guys that, and I think the Hayward could be up next week. And so the Packers have a lot of guys who can cover in that secondary.
Well, off to Minnesota next Sunday night, and then the Packers have the Bears the following Monday night. So a couple of key divisional matchups. Packers now in first place can start to, if they play well and continue to play well, put some distance between themselves and their competitors.
Well, despite their condition from an injury standpoint, you're exactly right. They have an opportunity in these next 2 weeks to really take command of the NFC North Division. It'll be interesting up at Minneapolis. The Vikings play tonight against the Giants, and then that Chicago game in Green Bay. Jay Cutler went down with a leg injury yesterday, and it'll be interesting to see if he's able to play next week and then maybe the week after. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, Wayne, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for the input, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers. And, of course, Wayne's visit, brought to you by Lakeland Automotive, Legend Larry's, Miesfeld's Meat Market, and by the Bull at Pinehurst Farms.
V93. In a world where one man...